Well, good morning, church. So in honor of this day where we inaugurate our new elders, and in honor of this being the closing ceremonies of the Winter Olympics, we are going to have a congregational Elder Olympic event. Not quite as exciting as you might think it is. Here's what I'm wanting you to do. There are currently 22 elders before we install these new four. I want you to turn to your neighbor. You can even go in teams if you want to pair up. I want to see how many you can name just amongst each other of the 22. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to give some pressure on you, and then we'll see how you do. So on your mark, get set, go. Ten seconds. All right. We are done. Let's see how we did. So I meant to say this. Current staff members, current elders, former elders, you do not get to count in the official results of this contest. I'm sorry. So for just normal members, we're going to start at 8. Raise your hand if you named at least 8. Anybody? Okay, that's good. 10. Keep your hands up if you got 10. Anybody get 13? I see 1. Just 2? 2, 3, 4. Okay, we got several here. Okay. 15? 14? Wow, this is really hard to see with these lights. Okay, same as Sandy Moore. How many did you guys name? About 15? What? You had a staff member helping you out? Well, we need to move on, so let's just give Sam and Sandy Moore a round of applause. I have got to work with elders for many years, and one of the things that always stands out to me is the quality of their character in general is just really, really high. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect men. I'm not saying their wives are perfect wives, but over the years, the stories just pile up about, you know, good things that happen from our elders. So just to give you a few examples, fairly recently, someone who has been pretty disconnected from church for a while came up to me and said, hey, I'm thinking about coming back, interested in coming back. And I said, well, you know, why would you say that? And he said, well, to be honest, it's one particular shepherd at this church family has not given up on me. That's pretty cool that an elder would have that effect on someone who had, in a sense, walked away. And I'm not talking pandemic-related attendance. This is just, he's kind of done. But an elder was the one that brought him back. Our elders have found homes for the homeless, jobs for the jobless. I can't tell you how many former inmates have told me, I know Jesus because of the work of Stafford and Joanne North. I don't want to go into a lot of the details of recent things, but I will tell you there has been certain things that a few of our elders have done in just recent months for our Afghan refugee families, which are just astonishing. And so I tell you these stories just to say that this group of men that currently serves and will serve in the future and has served in the past, the quality of their character is just really high. And one thing that happens when you have really high character is your actions tend to follow your character. So if the integrity's there, if the character's there, then the way you treat people It just kind of happens. It just comes naturally. So based on that premise, I want to offer you one final thought in this series that I've been doing for the last few weeks called Road to Recovery. And being the last sermon in this series, I want to do a brief recap as far as where we've been. So week one, starting off earlier this year, we talked about the idea that you are powerless to change on your own. Week two, we talked about the idea that transformation is a work of God, not the self. So you can't work really hard to transform your own heart. This is an act of the God that lives outside of you. Next week, we talked about this concept that there's no transformation without transparency. So if you're not vulnerable, it's probably not going to happen. In fact, this is why, you know, a lot of these principles are talked about in Celebrate Recovery quite a bit. This is one of the reasons that if you do go to Celebrate Recovery, when people stand up to address the group, they will often say, or always say, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus who struggles with. Well, the reason that they say that is because they're practicing transparency. They're creating a safe place for people to be. 2 weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness, and we said that forgiveness in its completeness is forgiveness in community. So we talked a lot about the horizontal dimension of forgiveness. And then last week, we talked about 2 Corinthians 12, suffering does not have to be a road to self-pity. It can be a pathway to God. I want to read you one more text from Scripture, make an observation, and then we'll move on with our day. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them. Now, when Jesus originally said this, he had in his mind corrupt teachers of the day who were highly respected, highly powerful, but they nevertheless were not honoring God with their lives. But the principle he's making here is not just true of ancient religious leaders. This is just true of all people. Jesus is making the case that our actions really do come from something deeper within us. So a good tree representing a good grounded person of integrity, they might have bad days, they might have bad moments, but over time that person, they're not going to always produce bad fruit. Like if you have someone with high character, they're not going to consistently betray other people, lie to other people, belittle others, or self-promote. Over time, the love and the joy and the peace are going to win the day. Now, you probably know someone that it seems like every few months they just jump ship, or they switch jobs, or they betray the trust of someone that has poured love on them. You probably know someone like that. Well, the reason this happens is this is simply a pattern for people that lack the inner character. It could be, you know, deep down, it could be self-loathing, it could be an unmet childhood need, an attachment to a victim narrative. But the actions of that person are not necessarily the problem of this person who's jumping ship and always flighty. There's probably something a little deeper. It's probably something to do with character. So the question that I want to think about for just a few more minutes is simply this: how do we work on character? Like, if it's true that actions are a result of something deeper, then how exactly do you work on the deeper thing? John Baker, he actually started Celebrate Recovery many, many years ago, and I want to read you a devotional thought that he wrote, which I find is very helpful. This devotional thought is about the fifth principle in Celebrate Recovery. The fifth principle says this: voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life, and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. So here's Baker's devotional thought. We need to remember that sin is a symptom of a character defect. That sin is like a weed in a garden. It will keep reappearing unless it's pulled out by the roots. The actual character defect that caused the particular sin or allowed it to happen. A sex addict's major sin may have been cheating on his wife. That was the act. The defect of character was his lack of positive self-image. But let's face it, some defects are hard to give up. An alcoholic may hit bottom and be ready to stop drinking, but is she ready to stop lying or to stop being greedy or to let go of resentments? These defects of character have been with us a long time. We have, and this is really an important part here, we have formed our defects of character, our hang-ups and habits over periods of 10, 20, 30 or more years. That's a really true thought. The longevity, I think, is the key factor here. So both character strengths and character defects have been formed over long, long periods of time. And this is precisely what causes some people to stop in their tracks and basically say, you know, Phil, I get you doing this series. This is great. I think this can work for other people. But to be honest, I've been going down this wrong road for so long that it's shaped my heart so deeply in a negative way that I simply don't think there's any way to get out of these deep negative roots that I have planted. I'll never forget years ago, someone was lamenting about their own sins, and they simply said through tears, I don't think that a God like that, as in a good, gracious God, would want anything to do with a person like me. And this person was simply admitting that their mistakes were so deep and long, there was such a long history of it, that this person did not believe that they could really change. And that's what a lot of people think. I want to give you one word of hope here. So remember this phrase from the story of the prodigal sons. The prodigal son betrays his father, goes off into wild living. He's making all these decisions based on some significant character flaws. And there's a really powerful line in the story in Luke where we read this, while he was still a long ways off. And I've always been drawn to that line because the son was far away from God. He was far away from home. He did not have his life altogether. He still carried with him rebellion, shame, distrust of authority, dark sensual desires, greed. But the consistent, strong, everlasting gaze of God at the end of the day overwhelmed the flaws. And so we read in the next line, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And so my question would be, do you want this to be your story? Because if you want this to be your story, God will fulfill his part of the story. Nate and Shelley Eisen have been helpful behind the scenes with helping me think through what kinds of principles to preach on and also helping recruit those who have done our mini testimonies over the last few weeks. I want to show you one more video with two mini testimonies to really bring this series to a close. Let's watch this video.
We had gone through two hyperemesis pregnancies. Pretty depressing to have to go through that. There was a lot of in-law issues that we had. I just felt like our marriage was not doing very well. I didn't really know where to turn to. I wasn't even sure if CR could help with any of that. I didn't really know what I needed. I just knew I needed something. It helps every single aspect of your life, and it gives you a lot of people who are real and honest and open. The friends that are at CR, they want the best for me, and so I like being around them. Life got tough. We had a couple tough years when everything was just like falling down around us, and job loss and cancer, and everything was kind of falling apart. I really even lost faith during that time. It was hard for me to go to church. I was still going to CR, trying to keep surrounding myself by those people because they did know about what was going on, and they were kind of holding my faith while I could not. The biggest thing that I've gained through going to the Friday nights is having a lot of humility and empathy for people. I think it just really humanizes people. Like, we are all struggling. I do feel that a lot of people helped us through our struggles, and it wanted us to help others through their struggles. And so that is one of the reasons why we started fostering, and one of the reasons why I feel like I can connect well with the biological family members of those kids. I'm very upfront that I've gone to CR and have had struggles, and I encourage all of them to go to Celebrate Recovery. I do have a lot less anxiety and fear of the unknown and what's going to happen. I know that he will carry me through anything because he has. I truly do feel I do not have to understand because there is no understanding to it, but I have peace.
Hi, I'm Roger Gamble.
And I'm Royce Gamble.
We're here to talk about Ralph Gamble today, and he's my oldest brother. He lived a life of debauchery. It just wasn't selfishness or anything, but he led a very sinful life. He could go off like a firecracker on anybody at any time. He was an angry person his whole life, and that controlled a lot of his life.
A big crisis in his marriage came up. And it was kind of like an ultimatum, you know, Ralph, you need to get help. I talked to Ralph the next morning, and he wanted to come to CR. And so we met, and we walked into the CR doors. Celebrate Recovery was such a safe place for him. And to go there that first night was such a blessing for him because he felt he was unworthy.
He began to realize how big God's grace was, how much the blood of Christ actually does forgive, how powerful that is, and that it was powerful enough to forgive him.
He had walked away from the Lord twice, and that was such a terrible, terrible burden for him.
Celebrate Recovery was one of several things in his return, but I think it was the thing that put him over the top in his return to the Lord. Ralph's ability to be able to confess in front of other grown adult Christian men, I think, was the healing balm that made his soul whole and complete. He found a community that he didn't have before. He had joy, but he had peace. His spirit was calm. His temper was completely gone. And he was so transformed. I'm getting chills thinking about it right now because it was so true and honest. He was transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ.
I mean, who would have guessed? He was without hope. God did this for him.
And through him.
And led him back so that Ralph could end his life in great service to so many people who loved him.
My message to people who ever hear or listen to any of this, it's never too late. It's just never too late.
In Christ, there's hope for you. You know, in Christ, there's hope for all of us.
Amen to that. In Christ, there's hope for all. There's so many people that were vulnerable enough to share their stories. Can we just show them some encouragement? I hope you have got the message over the weeks that transformation, as far as life change, is for anybody and everybody. And this particular program, Celebrate Recovery, is also for anybody and everybody. Nate and Shelley have led this program for a number of years, and they've been part of the program for over a decade. And in a sense, they have witnessed more life change and transformation, just a front row seat to it, arguably than anyone else in the entire church. And so I asked them last week, I said, can you tell me what you've learned about transformation? So I want to let them have the final word. Shelley said this, I've learned that change really is possible, but only if someone wants to change and is willing to do some hard work. So many people come wanting to change the other people in their lives, but then slowly realize they also need to change. People learn to set healthy boundaries. They learn to say no to people who they are enabling. They learn what it means to truly turn something over to God, to let go, and to trust His plan. And then Nate said this to that question. Nate said, if you only want forgiveness from your sins, then confess to God. But if you want healing and transformation, then you must become willing to confess your sins to safe, godly people. If the church is to be the light of the world, then we must be willing to allow that light to shine on the darkest corners of our hearts. It's pretty wise thoughts from Nate and Shelley Eisen. They want to let you know that as we close this series, if there have been any of you that have been thinking, you know, I want more information, but I don't know where to start, they would love you to contact them. So this email address on the screen, that only they see that. Nobody else has access to that email account. And then they also want you to have their cell phone numbers, so you are welcome to contact them if you feel like that would be helpful. So we're about to sing a song, and you know, later in the day, the new elders and the current elders have a luncheon where they're going to eat a meal together, and it's kind of neat that Celebrate Recovery is actually hosting that meal. So as I was trying to think through how am I going to do today, I want to talk about elders and talk about CR. Well, it's really neat that those two entities are actually going to intersect in just a few hours for this meal. So as we sing this song, I do want to let you know that if you have some need in your life that we can address in a public way, you're welcome to come share that with me while we sing this song, whether that's baptism or prayer. And also know that after this song, we're going to have a special inauguration for our new shepherds. So I sure hope you can stick around for that. Let's stand and sing.